Blog Talk Radio.
You're about to listen to the Roman Show, the most informative show in mixed martial arts and pro wrestling on the net. Award-winning journalist Rodolfo Roman tackles and gets down to the nitty-gritty of the sport with exclusive interviews. Sit back, relax, stay up to date. Let the Roman Show inform you. Call in live to participate. 714-868-0222. Let the Roman Show begin.
UFC heavyweight champion Junior Dos Santos meets former title holder Cain Velasquez in an anticipated rematch. Brazil's Dos Santos took Velasquez's belt. The former All-American wrestler looks to get even. Plus, Tim the Barbarian Boach faces Costa Philippou. Also, Jim Miller takes on Joe Lozon. Bud Light presents UFC 155, Dos Santos versus Velasquez 2. Live Saturday, December 29th, only on pay-per-view. Visit UFC.com.
For all the latest in MMA, news, fight results, interviews, live event coverage, podcasts, and video capsules, all this and much more in Spanish. Find all your MMA needs here inside El Octágono, the number one source dedicated 100% to MMA in Spanish. ElOctágono.com.
AllOutMMAGear.com is your best source for MMA gear and apparel. Use code RomanShow and receive 15% off your next purchase. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at AllOutMMAGear and on Facebook.com/AllOutMMA for the latest on merchandise and special offers. AllOutMMAGear.com, from Miami to the world.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Roman Show. This is December 26th, the last episode of 2012, as we welcome 2013. On the other side, Camilo Ortiz of El Octagono. This is Rodolfo Roman. Camilo, ready for the last show, man?
Yeah, man, I'm ready for the last show, and I'm ready for the new year.
Well, we have a lot to start off in this show. Camilo, as to start off, we're going to have Veronica Rothenhaus with some fights in Invicta FC 4. That's on January 5th. So a week from this Saturday, you can see the ladies in action. In fact, they just released that the entire fight card will be on online pay-per-view. You can purchase it there on InvictaFC.com, and you can watch it. It's going to be now on online pay-per-view. You can watch it live, stream it live on your computer. So Veronica will be on the line. She'll be making her debut. And we were talking, Camilo, that this lady has only seen action for about 2 minutes and 10 seconds, was it?
Yeah. According to one of, her amateur fights, she's had three of them. Her first one lasted 2 minutes, and then her last two were 5 seconds each. And all of them ended in the first round. So amateur fights. This is not her pro record. She's going to be making her pro debut with in Invicta. So it's pretty. She's showing like she's got a lot of potential, you know. Then again, you know, we got to see how she does with the professional fighters.
Correct, but I must say that the knockout she had the last fight of hers in the amateur level was amazing. Also, we're gonna welcome a little later in the 8:30 to 9 o'clock. We're gonna welcome Jacob the Bull Brown. Scheduled to have her on 8:55-ish. Jacob the Bull Brown is a little boy, 9 years old. The guy is an expert in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu already at that young age. The guy is kicking butt on the mat. So give it another 10 years or so, this man will be in the big top level MMA promotions like in the UFC. So you'll hear the interview here. You'll hear him first on the Roman show, followed up by Will Brooks, who'll be fighting on the Dream Card. He'll be fighting on that Dream Card on New Year's Eve. He'll be going up against an Asian fighter over there, and he is getting prepared for his fight, going to fly overseas. So get ready for action. Saturo Kitoaka. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, Camilo.
I think it's Satoru Kitaoka.
Kitaoka, there you go.
Satoru.
Sataru Kitaoka. I'm really hoping we pronounce this correctly. Well, Will Brooks will be fighting that gentleman who is 30-11-9, but Will Brooks is undefeated. He has a record of 7-0. He'll be the top of the 9 o'clock hour, followed by Sean Soriano. He'll be fighting for the interim featherweight title against Vito Delgado at the CFA 09 show on January 19th in Coral Gables, Florida. And we're going to have UFC 155 fighter Tim Boyce on the line. He'll be talking about his fight coming up this Saturday night. And he also has a couple of things to say about his past opponent. And then lastly, Camilo, we're going to finish off with West Side Report and Outside the Cage, where we look back at the year that was 2012. And I must say, Camilo, a lot of stuff happening this year.
Yeah, man, and there's still stuff to come because this weekend is UFC 155, and I cannot wait to watch that rematch between Junior Dos Santos and Cain Velasquez.
I'm hoping that Cain brings it. You know, you and I had the pleasure of meeting him not too long ago, in fact, last month, and he seems very positive. He seems very confident, and I'm hoping he can deliver that in the octagon this Saturday night against Junior Dos Santos, and we'll be able to watch an exciting fight. Not that quick fight that we saw on national TV last November. Well, Camilo, with that being said, let's welcome in our first guest. Ladies and gentlemen, she is going to make her pro debut, Ms. Veronica Rothenhauser. She will fight Catalina Malangahu a week from this Saturday at Invicta UFC 4. Veronica, how are you? Welcome to the Roman Show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
All right, absolutely great. We can't complain, Veronica. You know, Camilo and I, my co-host, we were just looking at your last fight. Incredible. 5 seconds, that's all it took. Just amazing.
Thank you.
The power they have in those hands, Veronica.
Thank you so much.
Now, tell us about fighting against Catalina. You're going to be making your pro debut.
Yeah, you know, Catalina, she's 2-1 right now, and she's also stand-up. You know, she's a boxer, she's a striker. So, I mean, I think everybody knows that she's going to be a stand-up war, and I've heard that she's got heavy hands as well. So I mean it's going to be a good fight. It's gonna just be blow to blow. So we'll see what happens. I'm very excited. I've never felt better, stronger, faster, and I've never felt more dangerous. So I'm very excited.
Now, Veronica, I'm not sure where you are located, what the rules are when it comes to amateur MMA, but here in Florida, you have to have at least 5 fights before you go pro. You have 3.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the same case in your area, or why did you decide to go pro in this coming year?
There's no limits. You could technically, if you sign up for a pro fight, you know, and you're 0-0 as an amateur, really nobody's going to say anything to you. My reason was mostly for competition's sake. My past 2 fights were both 5-second knockouts. So for me, I want a war. You know, I want to get in there and fight somebody who's, you know, going to fight back. So that was definitely one of the reasons for making this my pro debut with Invicta. Also, you know, this is what I'm meant to do. So it's time. And of course it won't hurt to start making money from it. Of course.
Well, Veronica, you sure have had some exposure. I know you're featured on Inside MMA already with that highlight on Knockout.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're going to be on the national scene again on this pay-per-view, online pay-per-view at Invicta FC. You know, last time they had over 200,000 viewers. I'm pretty sure it's going to be a little more than that come this show, now that it's going to be streamed online and pay-per-view. Do you have any of the butterflies going into this fight, going into your first pro fight?
No, not at all. I'm 100% confident. I'm training with Team Alpha Male, and they're really good. I mean, they're the best gym out there. And I feel so, I'm so ready. I'm just, it's just time, you know, and I'm not nervous at all. This is, like I said, this is what I'm meant to do. Honestly, one of the most, I mean, like the calmest and the most serene that I can get is when I'm walking out to the cage and, you know, as I'm stepping in there, I nothing else really matters at that point. And it's a fantastic feeling to have. I'm definitely excited and a little bit anxious. I wish it was this weekend, but no nerves. No nerves.
Awesome. Camilo?
Hey, Veronica, this is Camilo. You know, some fighters say that a fight is just a fight, but I believe that there are moments in a fighter's life that, you know, a fight isn't just a fight, but a moment, you know, that you're going to remember for the rest of your life. Your pro MMA debut is going to be one of those moments. If you could create a perfect night for your pro debut, how would you envision that night?
Absolutely, and I am very excited for that. For me, a perfect night would be for me to go out and do my thing and to have no regrets at the end of the fight, to know that I left it all out there on the mat, that I did every single thing that I could do. You know, even with a win, I think that that's very important, to feel like I just put it all out there and gave it 110% everything that I had. I'm working very hard for this fight, you know, as I do with all my fights, but women are starting to change the game up, and I want to be right there with it. So this is a huge fight, and like you said, this will be something that I remember for the rest of my life. So I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to do my thing, and I'm going to hurt somebody.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, this is going to be the beginning of your professional MMA career, but and you know, I'm sure you have a lot of motivation, different reasons that you wanted to become a professional fighter. But what is it that motivates you? What gets you pumped up to fight?
You know, I really have no choice. This is what I'm meant to do. This is what I'm so passionate about it. I'm completely in love with fighting, with MMA, with boxing, and it just it's just all falling into place now. So it feels totally right. And sorry, I just got caught up in that. What was your question?
Yeah, no, I was saying, what is it that motivates you to fight?
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Obviously.
My love, my desire for the sport motivates me. I just, with everything that I feel towards it, I have to, you know, I have to do it. I feel like I'm capable of doing so much that it would just be a waste to not go get out there and give it my all and, you know, really turn some heads. So I'm motivated to make, you know, turn people's heads and let them know, hey, there's a couple chicks out there who are down to, you know, fight nasty and to just get out there and bang.
Yeah, and you know, 2012 was a big year for Invicta FC and female fighters, you know, all around. And you know, you're 2013 in January, you're going to be making your pro MMA debut. So what are your, goals for 2013?
I'm training with Team Alpha Male now, and within a short time, about 3 months now that I've been over there, I've already become, you know, tenfold the fighter that I was when I walked in. And one of my goals is to just keep getting better and just to keep – there's so many guys over there. You know, Uriah, got Joe Benavidez, Chad Mendez, Danny Castillo, Dustin Akbari. So many guys over there that just – it's hard not to learn, to tell you the truth. Every single night I'm learning, I'm getting better. And I want to keep that up. And obviously I want to, I mean, I have this fight and Invicta is a great promotion, and I have a couple fight contracts going on with them. So I want to get out there, and I just want to make my name. It's time for that to happen, so that's my goal.
And Veronica, now I look at here your nickname, the Heartbreaker. Is that because you break in some boys' hearts, or you break some hearts inside the cage?
let's go with both. That kind of got tacked on to me, and it just stuck around. So yeah.
Obviously, awesome. Now, Veronica, knowing that your fight is a week from this Saturday and we had the holidays, did you by any chance cheat during the holiday meals?
I didn't. I definitely was tempted with all the good food around and all the, you know, gosh, man, all kinds of stuff going on. But this is for a much bigger and better purpose, so at the end of the day, it's easy for me to say, no, I'm okay. I can wait. I can, you know, I'm mentally tough enough to say, look, here's a, you know, yeah, that cake looks bomb, but at the same time, I need to make my weight, and I'm sticking to my game plan, and I'm, you know, I'm so in my head right now, I can wait 2 weeks for a piece of chocolate or whatever. I'm not tripping on that.
There you go. Camila, final question for Veronica, who fights a week from this Saturday on Invicta SC4.
Yeah, Veronica, you know, you mentioned that you're a part of a Team Alpha Male, and you know, that camp has been very outspoken on the desire to become, you know, the first camp with various champs. You know, like you said, you got Uriah Faber, Joseph Benavides, Chad Mendes, and I guess you would be the missing piece for the female representation in Team Alpha, which they are going to have to change, you know, that name to Team Alpha Male and one badass female fighter if you keep on winning the way you've been winning.
Thank you. We've talked about that a little bit, it's more than okay with me to be a part of Team Alpha Male. Those guys are, you know what, they're so talented, and they are just awesome, great guys. Joseph, Chad, and Danny, they actually had a toy drive for kids over Christmas, and they had hundreds of toys donated, and it's just, you know, that really puts it in perspective. They're out there doing their thing, but at the same time, they're making a huge difference in, you know, kids' lives, and they're just great guys and very welcoming, and I'm very proud to be a part of them.
And, you know, those guys, you know, aside from being extremely talented in the MMA sport, they're very humble, they're very nice people, and they're very likable human beings. Do they look at you as, you know, maybe like their little sister? Are they kind of protective over you?
I would say that. It's, like you said, they're very humble guys. And now that I am a part of the team, they will look out for me. They do look out for me. I'm cutting weight right now, and all of them are, you know, trying to give their advice and help in any way that they can. I've got Lance Palmer coming up with me to corner me. They are very, very cool guys, and it's awesome. I'm super happy. This is the best case scenario that could have happened for me, and to just kind of get in there and fit in perfectly with them is just a dream, so.
Well, Veronica, thank you so very much for calling in. You did a great job.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Looking forward to
seeing you in action live on pay-per-view
at
InvictaFC.com. Veronica should be taking on Catalina Malangrajo. If you haven't seen her, you got to go on YouTube. They have a nice clip there of her on Inside MMA knocking out her opponent in 5 seconds. And you can see her in action at Invicta FC 4. That's in Kansas City, Kansas, at the Memorial Hall in Kansas. And Invicta FC 4, 6 p.m. It starts January 5th at Memorial Hall in Kansas. Veronica, thanks so very much. We wish you good luck and hope to talk to you here, and we'll be talking about that win.
All right, man. Thank you guys so much. You guys have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye. Thank you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well, there you go. You've had it. Camilo Veronica will fight another talented young lady named Catalina. And seems kind of nervous, but she seems very very ready to go inside the cage and kick some butt.
Well, listen, man, if you're going to become a professional MMA fighter, Team Alpha Male is definitely one of the best camps out there. You know, just mentioning those three names, you know, Uriah Faber, Joseph Benavides, and Chad Mendes. I mean, these guys have all competed for titles. You know, Uriah was the champ at one point. And it's amazing, you know, the talent that they produce in that camp. So if they've been helping her throughout her amateur career, they're doing something right, because, you know, to have three fights, even though they're amateur, but three fights for a total amount of 2 minutes and 10 seconds, and they've all ended in the first round, that tells you something, man. That tells you a lot.
Yeah, and I'm telling you guys, check it up on YouTube. You just look up her name, and you'll be able to see her knock out her opponent in 5 seconds. That's all it took. You started off with a jab, followed up with another hand, and that's all she wrote. It's really quite amazing what this young lady did, and she is going to be a force to be reckoned with once she hits the pro. Camilo, before we bring in our next guest, we want to make the special announcement. CFA fighter and Miami fighter, Jaender Cubita Rodriguez, this Sunday, 2 days before Christmas, his house completely burned down. This man was in his house taking a nap when his children advised him that his house was on fire. He completely lost everything, including his Christmas gifts he was going to give to his kids. His wife received an email because she was at work. So she came, went to her house, and saw the entire house in flames, engulfed in flames. And there is video of this online. You can check this out, as it was followed by local media. Now, Jaender Cubita Rodriguez, unfortunately, as we said, he has no house right now, along with his five children and his wife. However, there has been an account opened up at Regions Bank. And you can donate to the account 017-629-2029. That's 017-629-2029. That's at Regions Bank. Donate whatever you have, and let's help this man get back on his feet. CFA, Championship Fighting Alliance, is also donating $1 of each ticket sold for that event. And there's also an event, Camilo, this Saturday. There will be a seminar, if you're in South Florida, hosted by another fighter, Alan Arzeno, and all the proceeds will go to Jaender. And it's going to be taking place at South Florida Mixed Martial Arts Academy, 15305 South Dixie Highway. And if you want to look it up there on your GPS, Miami, Florida, 33157 at 11 a.m., all the proceeds will go to Rodriguez. Just unfortunate news when I heard that, man. Just 2 days before Christmas, and this just happens to this fighter. That's just a sad tragedy.
Yeah, it's horrible, especially just because of the time of the, you know, what it is, you know, 2 days before Christmas. And, you know, you've seen this type of news, you know, all the time, you know. But it's a different feeling when you actually know the person, when you've had the opportunity to talk to him, build, you know, somewhat of a friendship, you know, because I'm sure you've interviewed him before a couple of times, and we've had him on El Octagono as well. And the guy's a really nice person. So when you see the news, it's a weird feeling. It's like you almost can't believe it's true. It's like, man, how horrible, you know? And, you know, the fact that the kids, you know, all their gifts were gone, and, you know, their home is gone. On the positive side, everybody was safe, and you know, they're all together. But it's a really sad scenario.
It's really, really sad. But you know, one thing that is nice though, Camilo, people have come out and helped them out. You know, people have come out, and they've united to help this man get back on his feet along with his family. So that is just absolutely amazing how the entire MMA community here in South Florida is getting together to help this man out. That's just absolutely great. All right, Camilo, with that being said, let's move on forward to our next guest. And by the way, just forward that on the social media. You can check out all the information in case you missed it. Follow those guys on Twitter, at RomaDH, and that's on Twitter. All right, Camilo, moving forward, now we're going to bring to a little young man, Jacob the Bull Brown. Jacob, how are you?
I'm doing very good.
Wow, Jacob. Now, you're on with Camilo and Rodolfo. Jacob, as we mentioned, guys, Jacob is 9 years old. He's still in, you're in what grade now, Jacob?
I'm in third grade now.
Third grade. But, Jacob, you are definitely a bull on the mats. You've been choking your opponents and using your arm bars. What inspired you to become a jiu-jitsu expert?
Well, I train hard in my dojo. I train super hard. I pay attention, and I listen to my sensei, so I get the moves correct. And, yeah.
That is awesome, Jacob. So Jacob is 9 years old. He's up in the Northeast. And by the way, you speak very well. I think you're ready already for the big time.
Thank you.
So Jacob, now I understand your dad, he also helps you out. So tell me a little bit about your training and some of the belts that you have won.
Well, I got 2 Naga belts, and I got 1 grappler's belt, 1 grappler's belt, and I got 35 medals.
Wow, 35 medals? I only think I have 5, Camilo, in my entire life.
I don't have any.
Thank you.
And you're only 9 years old, and you already have 35 medals. Now, Jacob, tell me about what exactly do you want to be when you grow up? Do you want to be a mixed martial arts fighter too, or do you want to be a coach, or what exactly do you want to do?
Well, I want to be a mixed martial arts fighter, like forever.
And who's your favorite?
And I want to train kids.
Who's your favorite?
Can you repeat that again?
Yeah, who's your favorite fighter right now?
Oh, well, my favorite fighter is GSP, the DS Brothers, and Ronda Rousey.
Nice. So, Jacob, I understand that your aunt introduced you to the sport because she's a police officer and was in the Marines. Is that true?
Yes.
Oh, so how long ago did you start? How old are you? You were 6?
Yes, I was 6.
And ever since you've been nonstop training?
Yes.
Wow, that's just absolutely amazing. So how many times a week do you train, Jacob?
I train 4 weeks, 4 days.
4 days out of the week. Just quite amazing. That is awesome. Well, Jacob, thank you so very much for joining us here on the program. And you can follow little Jacob the Bull Brown on Facebook. He has his own fan page. Jacob the Bull Brown, follow him. This guy could be a future GSP, and you heard him here first on the Roman Show. It's kind of a Camilo, kind of like that, like an American Idol, but back in the day, you know, they had Egg McMahon, and they searched all these great talent. But little Jacob here was in the Roman Show when he was.
Yeah, no, I think it's cool. He's very well spoken for a 9-year-old, and I think jiu-jitsu is one of the best things parents can do for their kids. It teaches them discipline and self-defense, you know, and also it gives them confidence, you know. It's awesome that his parents got him involved in that.
Absolutely. Congrats to the parents there. Jacob, thank you so very much. A little late, Merry Christmas, but have a Happy New Year, and keep winning those medals.
Well, thank you. Well, first, can I thank my sponsors?
Sure. Look at that. Taking your sponsors already. Go ahead, Jacob.
First, I want to thank God. I want to thank you guys. I want to thank my mom and dad, my fans, my faction mouth guards. I want to thank Los Kimonos, Mad Dog, Fight Gear. I want to thank Future Fighters and MMA Madhouse, my friends. I want to thank MMA Ammo for supporting me.
Awesome, Jacob. You're just absolutely amazing. Thank you so very much, Jacob. And happy holidays to you and your family, okay?
You too.
Bye-bye. Thank you. That is the cutest interview we've had here on the Roman Show. You come on, man.
He's got more sponsors than some professional fighters.
He got more sponsors than us.
Yes, that's true. That's to admit, but yes. But that's awesome for him. That's awesome for him, man. I'm really glad, and that's just cool. He's got to be one of the coolest kids in the school.
That is just awesome. Yeah, absolutely cool, and absolutely amazing what those parents are doing, teaching this kid already.
And the fact that his dad is so involved, I mean, that's cool. And his aunt, and that's amazing. And hopefully, you know, his friends at school are following him as well and wanting to join this, because it's not only good for you know, I guess young kids to start doing this, not just because I guess down the road is going to help MMA, because these guys, you know, I mean, like you heard him, he wants to be, you know, the next GSP or the Diaz brothers. But it also helps to, I guess, prevent bullying, you know, which is a huge problem. Now, I don't know how true that is, because imagine, you know, if you get this bully in one of these classes and he becomes an expert, you know, jiu-jitsu player, I don't know how that works, but most kids aren't as disciplined as Jacob is. So I'm sure nobody picks on him, and I'm sure he doesn't pick on anybody. And it's something great, man. It's a win-win all around.
No, that was just absolutely amazing. Little Jacob, only 9 years old, and the boy is already has 35 medals. That's just awesome, man. And congratulations to those parents. They're definitely doing a good job in supporting this little boy and being a good parent. So congratulations,
Roman,
for that. What's up? Yeah.
Do you ever, you know, I always think, I don't know, maybe it's because I watch too many cartoons, but the way this sport is growing and how kids are getting more involved in, like, you know, jiu-jitsu or taekwondo or karate, and even some MMA academies have, you know, classes for kids. Do you ever think maybe, like, in 5 or 7, 10 years, bullying is just going to be in a whole different level, and you're going to see kids, you know, like, doing all these crazy fights, karate scenes, and... Or it's just my imagination.
So. I mean, maybe. Take back about, I would say 20 years ago, when karate started being a big thing. You know, everyone started joining dojos. I mean, I don't know. Were you ever in karate? I was in karate. It was like the big thing back then. You
know? Man, I took, what was it? I took taekwondo. No,
okay.
Hapkido for like about a week.
Okay. A week. Okay.
Yeah, and that was
it. Was like the thing. It was a thing. You have to just know it.
Yeah, I got more involved as a grown up, but I wish I would have known about MMA when I was young. You know, obviously the sport has just gotten huge in the past 10, 15 years.
That's it.
And it wasn't in our childhood, but I wish it was.
I wish it was too, because you know, you could bring revenge on all those guys that picked on us, right?
Yeah, well, no, luckily I didn't have anybody to pick on me. I was able to be friends with everybody, and I guess talk my way out of a lot of situations.
There you go. I mean, I don't know, in my neighborhood when I was in middle school, if we're playing football, I'll get an extra hit in there. You know, I wish I would just go back and learn what I learned in high school and use it when I was in middle school, which is why I decided to go into wrestling and football. But and that didn't happen, right? So I had to take my bumps and bruises in middle school. In fact, I remember one day just getting really tackled very hard and coming this close of hitting my head into a big, large rock, and I survived. But, again, I didn't know what I knew in high school. But kudos to those parents for teaching their kids and putting them, enrolling them in Brazilian jiu-jitsu classes and judo classes, because not only does it teach you self-defense, but it teaches you a lot of discipline. And nowadays, Camilo, unfortunately, with everything that's going on in the world, with some children is getting bullied and so forth, as he has mentioned. This could definitely play an important role in children's minds. And I think that this sport, however, some of these congressmen and politicians say that, as they coin it, cockfighting actually has a positive side to it. And we're seeing it right now with Jacob, 9 years old. Jacob has won 35 medals. The kid speaks very well, very fluent, and he even mentioned his sponsors.
Yeah, that's funny. And his fans. He thanked all his fans.
Yeah. 9 years old. That is just awesome. That is just great. All right, Camilo. Coming up next, we have our next guest as we're moving forward here very quickly on the program. Mr. Will Brooks on the line. Mr. Will, how are you, sir?
Cool.
Is this Will?
Excuse me. I'm sorry about that. Sorry. I'm good, man. How are you?
Oh, pretty good, pretty good. Welcome to the Roman Show. You're getting ready for your fight December 31st overseas against Taturo Kitaoka. Problems there with pronouncing that, but Taturo coming up on December 31st, and we just found out, Will, that your fight will actually be shown here in the States in the CBS Sports Network, which is a big deal. Will, tell me about fighting overseas. It's the first time you're fighting overseas in Japan.
Yeah, man, this is something. You know what? Hold on, I got my headset on. I'm gonna take it out because I think I'm echoing a little bit, so I'm gonna do that real quick.
No worries. It's actually good to have headsets.
Yeah,
you want to take
yeah,
we can hear you perfectly.
Yeah, man, this is a good opportunity for me, man. This is a huge step up in my career. To be honest, I was never really expecting to be able to do something like this. And, you know, just one day I'm in the gym, and all of a sudden my manager calls me, Monty Cox, calls me up, and he asked me if I wanted to go to Japan. And I'm just like, heck yeah, you better believe I want to go to Japan. And then you added in that I could be competing, so that was like the cherry on top for me.
And that is just great. You're going up a guy who has a lot of experience. You are undefeated. But tell me the type of level of guy that you're fighting here, and how are you preparing mentally and physically because the time change?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's a huge step up in competition. The guy, he's got over 40, I think maybe over 45 mixed martial arts fights. He's a great jiu-jitsu player. It's just a huge step up in skill for me and in competition. He's fought guys like Aoki. I think he's fought guys like Paul Daly. He's competed against Carlos Condit in the past. He's tested his skills against a lot of the upper class guys, and he's beat a lot of them. And fortunately, I've got an opportunity to compete against him and put my skills on display and be able to, you know, hopefully be able to walk out of there with a victory over a top-level guy. And, you know, as far as going over there and traveling that far, there's a huge time difference, and you have to kind of get used to that and, you know, adjust to the time change. But I've been training out here in American Top Team out here at Coconut Creek, and I've been around a few guys that have gone to Japan a couple of times, and I've gotten a few tips here and there, so I'm taking a few things from this person to that person and, you know, just trying to put together a good game plan that will help me transition while I'm over there.
What are some of the tips the guys at ACT have given you as far as that time difference, which is pretty major?
One thing that they really cleared up to me is the idea of, you know, a lot of people think that you want to sleep as long as you can on the plane or whatnot. Because doing things like, you know, maybe sleep every other hour and, you know, don't be afraid to get up and walk around and loosen your legs and stretch a little bit and, you know, drinking a lot of water. And for me, one thing I've been trying to do is really focusing on getting a lot of sleep while I've been home. So if I do get there and, you know, it's a huge time change and I'm wide awake, it won't feel unnatural to me. I'll be well rested and everything. So just small things like that, making sure I stay hydrated and, you know, really trying to focus on the fact that I'm going into a new area, going into a new environment where there's all types of different things that is going on in my body and I have to adjust. And I got a few good tips from a lot of good guys over here, so I'm really, really excited and ready to do this.
Great, Camilo.
Hey, Will, this is Camilo. You know, it's a pleasure to talk to you, man. And I was checking out your record, and only one of your fights has gone to a decision. So it's safe to say that you're a finisher. Are you expecting a quick fight, or do you think it'll go the distance?
I've only had one fight that went to a distance. Unfortunately, you know, I really wanted to finish that fight, but I had a very, very tough opponent in Drew Dober, and I'm not going to take anything from that guy. I feel like I hit him with everything in the kitchen sink, you know, and he just kept going. But this time around, I think I feel like I'm a lot more prepared, and as far as my strength and conditioning goes, and I'm a lot more prepared as far as strategy goes for this fight. So I think I'll be I think I'll be better prepared to finish this fight. I'm not gonna say it's gonna be quick, but I definitely can go and say that in my mind. I definitely believe that I can't wait and feel the confidence that I believe I can finish this fight. And that's what I really want to aim for. I want to get back on track of finishing fights.
Yeah, and you know, like we said, your last fight was the first time any of your fights have gone to a decision. And you said that you hit this guy with everything. So what were your thoughts when you're hitting this guy with your hardest shots and, like, he's still coming at you and he's not going down? Do you start, you know, maybe doubting yourself, or what are the thoughts that are going through your mind?
You know what, it was one of those things where I'm like, you know, at one point I was a little frustrated because I wasn't able to get the finish, but at the same time, during the fight, you know, I started to click over into my mindset and understand that, regardless of if I don't finish this guy, I felt like I was very, very dominant in that fight, and I was the one initiating a lot of the offense and countering off of some of my defense and initiating offense, and I was doing a lot of the damage and controlling the fight. So, you know, it's one of those things where you have to click out of that mindset and understand that you need to get this W. So not to go out of your way to do something, you know, that'll put yourself at risk of you end up being the one getting finished when the whole time, you know, you're beating this guy, you know. So for me, it was one of those things where I just had to go in my corner with my coaches towards the beginning of the third round, and we just had to understand that, listen, this guy's extremely tough, and, you know, you're getting in good positions and you're getting close to finishing him. It's just, you know, some guys just have that will, you know, and it was just fortunate I had a really good team of coaches with me that just really kept my mind in the game and had me understanding that regardless of if I get the finish, I still have a dominant performance, so I still walk out of there with the W, and at the end of the day, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, man, and you got that unanimous decision. You know, some of these judges are more dangerous than the actual fighter that you're fighting, because, you know, these judges in MMA are special when it comes to making some decisions in some fights. But, you know, looking forward, I guess, some fighters, you know, they only dream about fighting in Japan, but you're going to get to fight in the main card and celebrate New Year's in Japan. How awesome is that?
Man, I don't think it's hit me yet. It still hasn't really hit me. You know, I got my girlfriend and her mom coming with me, and my manager and his assistant is coming with. So, you know, it's one of those things where it really hasn't hit me yet, but it's starting to. I'm actually leaving for Japan early tomorrow morning. I think my flight departs at 6:24 a.m. from here. I fly into Chicago and leave from Chicago. Even though I'm about to jump on a plane and start my descent towards Japan, it still hasn't really clicked in my mind. I think at this point, being so close to the fight, I think I've clicked over into business mode. So the excitement about going to Japan has kind of, you know, dwindled on a little bit, just because I know that this isn't a fun trip. You know, this is a business trip for me, and that's where I'm at mentally right now. So I think once the fight is over, once I'm done competing, and, you know, once I walk out of my hands rings, I think it'll click over to me that, hey, I'm in Japan right now, so I'll be able to celebrate after.
Hey, Will, knowing that you're fighting in Japan, this event, fighting on New Year's Eve, is like a tradition in Japan. You know, there's been several events that take place in the Dream. I believe Pride also have it as well, Camilo, on New Year's Eve. This is something traditional over there. But not only are you fighting in this traditional event in Asia, but at the same time, the crowd is a lot different compared here to the United States, where they're loud and screaming. Over there, there's more of a sense of respect, and they're very quiet. How are you prepared for that? Have you tried to do something in the gym, knowing that you'll be here? The benefit is that you'll be able to listen to your corner.
Yeah, man. I think as far as the corner goes, listening to my corner I've been blessed with the opportunity to compete in individual sports my entire life. I've been wrestling almost my entire life. I've always been very good at, you know, calming myself down and really focusing in on my coach's voice. So that's one thing that I feel like is a benefit for me. I've been watching a lot of the fights of my opponent. That's one thing that I recognize is the crowd is quiet and they're very observant. They're very focused on what's going on. That actually makes me feel a little bit better because I am going across seas. I'm going into someone else's backyard to notice how focused they are, how respectful they are of the sport. Makes me feel a little bit more comfortable as far as the judging goes. I feel like I definitely want to go in there and be dominant and look for the finish, but the fact that they're so respectful of the sport makes me feel a little bit more comfortable with the judges and them actually paying attention and understanding how to score the sport and how to score our competition. But things that I've done around the gym, I can't really say that I've done anything differently. It's been pretty much the same typical training camp that I've usually had. Just really focused on a lot of individual things as far as breaking my opponent down. I've done a lot more of that this training camp than I have in the past. Where in the past I've been just focused on, you know what, just be ready to go anywhere as far as the fight goes. With this fight, with working with the guys at American Top Team, they really had me focus in on really breaking down my opponent. So. I don't think I've done too much as far as getting ready for what the crowd is going to be because, you know, at the end of the day, the crowd, they're not going to win the fight for me, you know, so regardless if they're screaming or yelling or quiet or sleeping, you know, I still got to take care of business, you know.
Right. Well, Camilo?
I guess the only thing I got left to say is that I envy you because one of my dreams is to go to Japan one day. So you better charge your laptop, your iPod for the flight, get some movies ready, and get comfortable. And I wish you all the luck in your upcoming fight. Happy New Year's, and have a safe flight.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it, man. You got to tell me twice. I just got back to the house from practice, and first thing I did was pack my bags and throw everything on a charger, just getting ready for this whole trip, man. But happy New Year to you too, man, and thank you very much for having me on.
Thank you so very much, man, and good luck, alrighty?
Thank you very much, man.
Thank you. Well, there you go. Will Brooks in action on Dream, the New Year's Eve event, and that has been a long tradition in Asia, Camilo. And I think it was last year, they tried to mix it up. This year they're also mixing it up as they're combining with Glory, so it's Dream and Glory. So you're going to see the stand-up, and you're going to have MMA. But last year, if I recall, they had wrestling. They had pro wrestling and MMA.
Yeah, for this one, they teamed up with Global, I'm supposed to have like 16 kickboxing. Yeah, kickboxing right. Fights. But yeah, man, they've always done these events. It's awesome, man. You know, this guy is getting to go out there. Their last event was in let me see. I have it over here. It was in December 31st of 2011. And it was they had about 24,606 people attend. So it's a pretty big crowd.
Yeah, no, and as I mentioned, last time they had the wrestling, so this thing goes on for hours. I think it starts, here it is.
And the last event was for, it was called Fight for Japan, because that was right after the earthquake hit over there. So that was the last event, and we haven't seen anything because, you know, this organization was going to go out of business. They called it quits, and then last minute, you know, it resurrected, and, you know, obviously... That's awesome because for those people that have never seen a Dream event, it's the production is amazing.
It is. It really is cool. And I remember watching it last year. I think it was Chavello Maronalo. I think it was one of those guys. But Yeah, I think they were calling the shots for pro wrestling, so it was really funny because they had to switch from pro wrestling to MMA. And I think they're on to like their fifth hour announcing or something like that. And it's a whole day event. These guys are there from like 1 p.m. to like 11 p.m. or some ridiculous amount of hours. And they love it. And the neat thing about it is that they are there from start to finish. You know, here in the States, in the first few fights, you get somewhat of attendance. You know, everybody usually comes about with the preliminary main card. No, here, they're from start to finish watching every single fight.
Yeah, and on the last event, the main event was Fedor Emelianenko against Satoshi Ishii. And the co-main event was Shinya Aoki against Satoru Kitaoka. And now this year we got Shinya Aoki against Antonio McGee as the main event. But, I mean, there's a whole the card's got really good fights, I mean, and fighters. You got Phil Baroni, Viviano Fernandez, who's supposed to be in the UFC, Melvin Manholz, Dennis Kang, Will Brooks, obviously, you know, representing the U.S. It's going to be good, man. Yeah, and it is going to be some kickboxing. So far they have two fights and the Glory Heavyweight Grand Slam Tournament bracket, I believe, is the whole thing.
Announced. Well, we had Antonio McKee last week. He's fighting Shinya Aoki, as you mentioned. And also Marlos Kunin versus Fiona Muxlow have been added to the Dream 18 New Year's Eve MMA event. So Marlos, of course, famous in Strikeforce. She'll be part of that card. And it's going to be exciting. This December 31st, New Year's Eve, you're going to be watching a whole lot of action. And it's going to be on paper. They used to have it on Access TV, but now they're going to be showing it, well, the Glory part of it, they're going to be showing it on CBS Sports Network.
Yeah. And
catch it live.
And a cool fact, you know, the kickboxing event that has the 16-man tournament of heavyweight kickboxers, the winner takes home $400,000.
Yes. Incredible.
400,000. That's a lot.
That's pretty insane. Camila, let's go to a quick break. We'll be right back with Jonathan King all the way from California with his West Side Report. We'll be right back.
UFC heavyweight champion Junior Dos Santos meets former title holder Cain Velasquez in an anticipated rematch. Brazil's Dos Santos took Velasquez's belt. The former All-American wrestler looks to get even. Plus, Tim the Barbarian Boach faces Costa Philippou. Also, Jim Miller takes on Joe Lozon. Bud Light presents UFC 155, Dos Santos versus Velasquez 2. Live Saturday, December 29th, only on pay-per-view. Visit UFC.com for details. Card subject to change.
And we are back here on the Roman Show, all the way from California. Jonathan King of the Clinch Report. And here is the West Side Report. What is it, Jonathan?
Hey, what's going on, boys? Happy holidays. How you doing?
Same to you, my man. What you got for us all the way in the West Coast?
Well, actually, I am on the East Coast right now, but I do have West Coast results.
There you go. Okay. So what you got for us from the West Coast, bro?
December 20th, I attended the King of the Cage Vigilante event. There were three championship fights, the Flyweight Championship, the Welterweight Championship, and the Light Heavyweight Championship. Marvin Garcia won the Flyweight Championship with a submission win, guillotine choke, over Justin Robbins in the second round. Sam Liera, who big upset win over current champion David Gomez to take the belt, TKO by punches in round one. And the light heavyweight championship, which was vacant, was fought between Tony Lopez and Trevor Prangley, who you guys know fought in Bellator and Strikeforce. Ended a little bit, it was a very odd decision. Lopez landed a knee on the ground. So after four rounds, Prangley was unable to continue with the illegal shot, and they went to the judges' cards, and Prangley won by technical decision. From what I hear, Tony is going to appeal the decision, claiming that the damage was done by a punch and not that knee. But we'll wait to see what happens there. Also, the up-and-comer that I've been touting for a long time, Johnny, the Tattoo Terracist Neros, was on the wrong end of a knockout in the first round. He got caught with the counter right hand and left him supine on the floor. And now he's got one loss. We'll see if he can bounce back. He should have no problem doing that. It was just a flash knockout. So that's what I got from the Vigilante King of the Cage. It was an excellent, excellent event. Another unbelievable card that they put together. Terry Tribble Cox got a real great thing going on over there.
Absolutely great. Now, we're going to go into the famous Jonathan King predictions for UFC 55. I believe the last time around, you were one off. I think it was the main event you were off, but the rest you were pretty much accurate.
Yeah, I was pretty good last time. I'll see if I can do it again. Hopefully help you guys out here.
What was the percentage that you had as far as accuracy?
For 2012, I was about 78%.
78%. So right
yes,
now,
sir.
Place your bets. Grab your cell phones, write it on your iPhones or Androids, or if you have to go old school, write it on your piece of paper. Here are the predictions for UFC 155, according to Jonathan King. Well, shoot.
Okay. You want to do undercard first?
Let's just start with the main card, just the main card.
Okay. Main card, it starts with Chris Leben against Derek Brunson. Derek Brunson coming over from Strikeforce, coming off of two losses. Chris Leben coming in after the suspension. Got to go with Chris Leben by TKO round two in this one.
Okay.
Next fight is Yushin Thunder Okami against Alan the Talent Belcher. On this one, I'm going to have to give Alan Belcher a unanimous decision win. Tim Bose against another up-and-comer who I really like, trains on Long Island, my home turf, Konstantinos Filippou, 11-2, and Tim Bose is 16-4, coming off that win over Hector Lombard. I'm going to go with Filippou by TKO round three.
All right.
Jim Miller versus Joe Lauzon. I'm going Joe Lauzon, Jay Lau. You cannot doubt this kid's submission game. He's tough as can be. And I think after the Barner fight, he's going to submit Jim Miller in round two.
All right.
And the heavyweight championship fight. For all those California fans that I know I'm going to anger right now, but Cain Velasquez will not win back his title. Junior Dos Santos, round two, TKO.
Oof. There you go. You heard the prediction. Let's see if Jonathan King is right. You'll catch it here in the new year. We'll see if Jonathan King was right. Anything else you'd like to add before we let you go, Jonathan?
Well, I'd like to make sure you can follow me and my partner, John Walsh, at theclinchreport.com. We got some great photos up from the King of the Cage event that he took. He's an amazing photographer. I also like to give a shout-out to Real Combat Media, the other source that I write for. Great company to write for. If any up-and-coming writers want to find a home writing about MMA, make sure you contact the editors at Real Combat Media. And I also want to thank, personally, I want to thank my mom, my dad, my brother, and my sister, Joanna. They made a great, great Christmas for me. Unbelievable. Without my dad, John King, there really would be no Jonathan King. So I got to thank the man who made me. So I hope you guys have a great holiday, and I will I'll check in with you guys soon.
Yes,
hey,
sir.
Jonathan.
Thank you so very much. Go ahead.
Jonathan, I have a question for you. You're from Maine?
What's that?
Are you from Maine?
I'm from Long Island, New York.
Oh, okay. No, because when you mentioned Tim Boyd, she said it was around your area, and my wife, she's from Maine, and she's, she found out Tim Boyd, she's from Maine, and she became the number one fan. So I was going to tell you, if you're from Maine, you got your another follower because of my wife. She will follow you.
Yeah, well, I know what Costa Filippo trains. He trains with Matt Serra and those guys on And another fighter I know very well, Ryan LaFlair. Keep an eye out for him, Strikeforce. He was signed to Strikeforce 7-0. He fights at the Belmore Kickboxing Academy. He's got a fight coming up, I believe, in January for Ring of Combat. He's going to defend his welterweight title, 170-pound terror. Keep an eye out for Ryan LaFlair. And I hate to
hate to anger your wife because she's from Maine, but I don't think Tim Bosch is going to win this fight.
Yeah, no, we went at it when Tim Bosch fought Hector Lombard. I was running for Lombard, and she was going for the Maynard, so, yeah, don't feel too bad.
I got to go for my boy Hector Lombard, too. I used to train with him at American Top Team, so even though my predictions sometimes go wrong, I try to tend to go with the home team boys.
There you go. Well, John, thanks so very much, man, and Happy New Year, and we'll catch you 2013 right here in the Roman Show.
Thank you very much, boys. You take care.
You too, man. Enjoy. Thank you. All right, Camilo. From Johnson, we're going to go back. Well, he is in Florida now, even though originally he lives in California, but we're going to remain in Florida. We're going to go to Sean Soriano, who will be fighting for the interim featherweight title against Victor Delgado at CFA 09, January 19th, Sean, who trains out of the Black Zillions camp. Sean, thank you so much for joining us here on the Roman Show. How are you, sir?
No problem. How are you guys doing? How's everything?
Pretty good. Absolutely great. We can't complain. Man, just a few weeks from now, you'll be fighting Victor Delgado for the interim title, featherweight title.
Oh, yeah.
You and Victor are undefeated, which is going to be a phenomenal fight between both of you guys.
We are. And there's a little animosity between us, so it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. Someone zero got to go, right?
Well, what's going on with the animosity here? Please explain to us.
I guess he didn't like the fact that I really called him out. You know, I'm originally from Providence, Rhode Island, and I used to train at American Top Team. So I've seen Victor fight a couple of times live, you know, and he has a hometown crowd, you know, and I'm the new kid on the block, and I got to make a name for myself out here, you know. So why not call out the good guy, you know? And it all started from there, and then we were supposed to fight in June, and he pulled out 2 weeks before the fight after saying he was going to finish me in the first round. So it kind of went from there, you know. But I'm glad we can kind of finally settle it all January 19th, you know.
Now, the Black Zillions, obviously, a gym with big-time names like Rashad Evans, Alistair Overeem, and you're training with these guys. MMA Masters down here in South Florida and Miami, also a big-time camp. Tell me some of the training that you've been handling over there in Black Zillions. It's just phenomenal. And I know you guys on Twitter and on social media are always talking and chatting and so forth. And you have some commercials running on national TV. But the training that goes in this gym is just amazing, from what I understand. Seeing it all the stuff on TV and on social media.
It's honestly the best training I've ever got. You know, I've been here since March, and I've seen so much improvements in my game. It's unbelievable. I'm a brand new fighter. You know, I'm a lot more confident. You know, you get to go with all these guys. You know, you kind of have to step your game up every day. You know, because there's no easy rounds. You know, I'm not trying to bust on anybody else's gym. You know, but there's always that one easy round, and I've seen like over here you don't get that. And you know, I have the best striking coach, Henry Hoof, and he's like a big brother to me, and he's taking care of me. You know. He's got my stand-up so much better, and I got great coaches like Mario Sperry. I just have great teammates and a great team, you know. We train very hard, but after training, you know, we're always together. We do a lot of things, as you guys can see on TV and stuff, and we're just a big family that likes to fight, you know.
That's just awesome. Camilo?
Yeah, man, it's a pleasure to talk to you. And, you know, talking about training, we always ask people if they do anything outside of regular MMA conditioning. Yoga seems to be the number one pick. Is there something that you do outside of your regular training?
I mean, I do different types of cardio and stuff. I got our trainer, Paolo. He's been helping me a lot in getting my cardio and strength ready. But, I mean, I don't do nothing out of the ordinary. You know, I do kickboxing, I box, I wrestle, I do jiu-jitsu, you know, I run. And I do different MMA workouts, but mostly just that, you know. I really don't do the yoga or nothing like that. You know, I just really try to focus on getting better on everything else besides trying to branch off to something new, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And also I wanted to get your opinion on something that's been happening a lot. You know, we're a media outlet, but we're also fans of fighters like yourself and you know, from other organizations. And one of the things that has been going on, especially, I guess, in the UFC, has been super fights, you know, versus, you know, guys who have earned their way up to a title shot. As a fighter, how do you feel about that? Do you think it's just part of the business, or that the guys who earned their shot should deserve the next shot instead of having these super fights?
I mean, as a fan before a fighter, I love the super fights. But as a fighter, you know, you understand the grind and you understand the back part and you understand the downfalls of this career. And you kind of like to see people earn their shot, you know, not just kind of promote their way to a shot. But, I mean, I like both. I like watching the matchups, but then again, I feel bad for the guys who have been putting in work, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And are you a fan of female fighters?
I like female fighters. There's some female fighters that I do like. But, I mean, I'd rather girls not get punched, but I don't have a problem with it. You know, there are actually a lot of good girls getting out there. You know, I used to train with a girl that loved stand-up, and that's all she did was stand-up. And she was tough, man, and anybody who was new to the gym got their ass kicked. So I don't downgrade them at all. I respect them for what they do, and I wouldn't prefer my girl to hit.
Yeah.
She'll get hit, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, Sean, knowing that when you guys fight, the entire Black Zillion seems to support each other. You know, I think I was at the last show. I don't know who was. I know Alistair was out there, and one of
it was Jay-Z Cavalcante.
And Jay-Z Cavalcante.
We try to support each other as much as possible. You know, a lot of our guys are UFC, unfortunately, and they fight all over the world, so we can't support them as much. We support them as a group, you know. If a guy's fighting UFC in Vegas, we all get together at our manager's house and we'll watch the fight together, you know. Well, for me, that's I fight local. I get the pleasure of having all these guys at my fights.
Right.
And they will be there this time. Alistair will be there. I don't know if Rashad. Maybe Rashad might be there, you know. And they are going to try to support me, you know, because I'm still their teammate, you know. Even though I'm not in the UFC, I'm still their teammate.
And that was a question I was going to ask you. Having an Alistair Overeem sitting at cage side watching you fight, I mean, that just must feel absolutely awesome.
Oh, you don't even know what the best part was. When he walked into my locker room before I went out, that was the crazy part. I'm like, oh, my God, he's in my locker room. I have to perform, you know. And it's just I like the pressure, you know. I like the pressure of having to perform. I like the pressure of having to compete against these top guys, you know. And you can tell I like the pressure just because I called Victor out, you know. We both have a zero on our record. We both can lose, you know. It's just going to be the bigger man is going to win, you know. And I like that challenge. This is why I fight, and this is what I want to do, you know.
Now, the featherweight champion of CFA is Azar Stojadinovic. He, unfortunately, was injured and couldn't fight on this card. So he will be fighting for the interim belt. You know, we're going to jump the gun here, but what can you tell us about Lazar?
I actually trained with Lazar a couple of times. We actually are good buddies, you know. We really didn't want to fight each other, but it just happened. We knew it had to happen, you know, because where we are in our careers. Lazar is a very good, very tough fighter, you know. He takes a lot of punishment, and he can give a lot, you know. He has very good fast hands, and he has decent wrestling. He has a decent ground game. So, overall, he's pretty good, you know. And I like the matchup. I mean, not friend-wise, but I do like the matchup, you know. It makes an exciting fight. And I'm at a point in my career that I want exciting fights, you know. I feel like I'm ready for the UFC. I want big fights, you know. I want to make a name for myself. So it starts now, you know.
Well, I'm going to ask you now. CFA, fighting for this company here in Florida has made, I would go ahead and say it's made a name for itself this year in 2012. Tell me fighting for this company. Has it made you a better fighter because of the competition?
CFA produces a lot of good competition, you know, especially in the Florida area. I've seen competition up north in the Northeast, and I've seen competition down here. And CFA does put on a great show, you know. And I've seen CFA before there was CFA, you know. So I've seen them grow, and I've seen them become what they are, and I love to fight for them, you know. This is my second time fighting for them. This is actually my second time fighting for, I mean, my first time fighting for the same organization. But it's going to be a good experience, man. They put on good shows. They have good people behind them, and I appreciate everything they do.
Camilo?
Yeah, I guess I wanted to get your opinion, you know, as a fighter. And last week we had another MMA fighter who expressed this, I guess, stress and disappointment in the fact that, you know, fighters, they don't get the benefits that other athletes get. They don't get the pay that they deserve, which I agree with. You know, MMA fighters should be getting paid a lot more than they do. And one of the issues is that there's no union for fighters. So his theory was about winning by decision, not risking his body, you know, unless there's big bucks involved. How do you feel about that? You know, fighting safe or fighting excitement? Exciting fights is the way for you.
I mean, if you look at my resume, you would see that I like exciting fights. You know, I finished all six of my guys, and I do like to finish. You know, I feel like a decision is a win, but it's not unless you really dominate. It's not a win for me. You know, and this 15 minutes of where you can slip up 1 second. You know, this fighting game is crazy. You get caught with those 4 ounce gloves, you can go down. You know, you make a mistake on the ground, you can get submitted. You know, you get tired, and the fight might go the other way. So you never know. You know, if you get the chance to finish, I would suggest you finish. And the money wise, I mean, it's tough. You know, it is a tough sport. You know, we don't make a lot of money. You know, as to a boxing or to a baseball player or to a football. But you know, if you do this sport, you appreciate the martial arts, and you appreciate what you're doing, and you kind of just have a feel for it. You know, I get to do what I love for a living, you know, even if it's not the best living, but it's I do what I love, you know.
Would you be for forming a fighters union if that option came to be presented down the road for all fighters across, you know, the table? It doesn't matter where you fight, you know, whether it's a local organization or a national. Would you be for union?
I if it benefits us fighters in the long run, then yes. If it really does benefit us, then yes, I'll do anything that really benefits us, you know, because at the end of the day, without fans or fighters, there's really not much, you know. You need both. So, I mean, I feel we need to be taken care of just as much as the fans need to be taken care of, you know.
Absolutely. Well, Sean, thanks so very much, man, for calling in. We're looking forward
guys
to that fight. As you mentioned, man, somebody's almost go, and that's January 19th. Sean
somebody's
Soriano.
Almost go, and it ain't mine. I guarantee you that, you know. I appreciate you guys having me. I appreciate it. Hopefully I get to see you at CFA. And if you see Victor Round, tell him I'm ready, okay?
Oh, we're ready. So now, where are you originally from, Sean?
I'm from Providence, Rhode Island. I'm an East Coast guy.
An East Coast guy, and a family descendant of Latin America.
I'm Dominican and Spaniard. Yeah, I'm Latin.
Dominican Spaniard. Just like Stojadinovic. I think he has like Serbian.
Yeah, he's
Dominican.
A little Dominican. So we got along just off that, you know.
Dude, he's
a good friend of mine, and I hope him well. I hope him recover. You know, maybe we get to bang a little bit after.
Any Dominicans coming out into the sport now aside from you and Stojadinovic?
I have no clue. I knew there was a guy in Bellator, but I don't know. I want to be the first Dominican in the UFC, so we got to make that happen. We got to go that way. So you don't know any Dominicans, all right?
There you go. Well, Sean, thanks so very much, man. Good
guys.
Luck to you January 19th, and
no
we'll
problem.
See you in
Thank
action.
You guys. Hope to see you guys.
We'll do. Thank you, sir. Have a good
all
New
right,
Year's.
Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right, Camila, there you go. Sean Soriano fighting Victor Delgado, CFA 09, January 19th. You get some tickets. In fact, we're going to give away some tickets in the new year. The second week of the year, we'll be giving away some free tickets to CFA. I'm pumped. I'm ready for that show. It's about time we get some MMA here in Florida, in South Florida, Camilo.
Yeah, man, I'm excited. You know, CFA, each card they try to make it better than the last one, and this one is no exception. There's four titles on the line, and they're back at the Bank United. So it's good.
Close
it's win-win for you and me.
Yes, sir. Close to home. Camilo, let's go to a quick break. We'll be right back with Outside the Cage as we look back at the year it was in 2012.
Visit El Octagono for all the latest in MMA, news, fight results, interviews, live event coverage, podcasts, and video capsules. All this and much more in Spanish. Find all your MMA needs here inside El Octagono, the number one source dedicated 100% to MMA in Spanish. El Octagono.com.
UFC heavyweight champion Junior Dos Santos meets former title holder Cain Velasquez in an anticipated rematch. Brazil's Dos Santos took Velasquez's belt. The former All-American wrestler looks to get even. Plus, Tim the Barbarian Boach faces Costa Philippou. Also, Jim Miller takes on Joe Lozon. Bud Light presents UFC 155, Dos Santos versus Velasquez 2. Live Saturday, December 29th, only on pay-per-view. Visit UFC...
Check out the latest news and the coolest interviews on The Roman Show every Tuesday and Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit us on RodolfoRoman.com or check us out on Twitter at RomanDH. Check out The Roman Show on Facebook. Visit Facebook.com/TheRomanShow. Like us and make sure you spread out the word about the coolest and hippest radio program on the internet to date. Check it out, facebook.com/TheRomanShow. The Roman Show has captivated the sports fans' attention in a fast pace. Therefore, join the Roman Show family by sponsoring us. Send us an email to romandh@yahoo.com. Join this growing family as it grows quickly. Send us an email right now, romandh@yahoo.com, and notice the exposure your company will get. Again, email us at romandh@yahoo.com to sponsor the coolest and hippest program on the internet, The Roman Show. Catch up with any past interviews on The Roman Show by visiting our website, RodolfoRoman.com. That's RodolfoRoman.com. Catch up on all interviews in the past The Roman Show has conducted. And if you happen to like the current show, check out The Roman Show tomorrow morning on RodolfoRoman.com. You have a business, but you have no money? Well, no worries. OchoaOnline.com has you covered. Head on over to OchoaOnline.com for the best prices. And trust me, when it comes to internet websites, these guys know how to do it. OchoaOnline.com will help you set up the best quality-based website for your business or company. OchoaOnline.com. Visit them right now at OchoaOnline.com. That's OchoaOnline.com, the official sponsor of The Roman Show website, OchoaOnline.com. Want to win some money while you watch the big fight this weekend? Head on over to CounterMove.com. That's CounterMove.com with a K.
You're listening to The Roman Show, the hottest radio sports program on the net. Call in live at 714-868-0222 or tweet us live at RomanDH. It's The Roman Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back on The Roman Show. And Camilo, I think it's time that we look into...
This is Alpha Cage. Unleash the beast.
I wish my voice would sound like that every time I speak. You know that?
We're going to have to get you an app for your phone. So
yes. I know, what's his face had one? T-Pain. T-Pain had one.
Oh, yeah. But that makes me sound like a robot.
All right, so we're going to look back at 2012.
All right.
A year that was amazing, man. What do we got? What can we look back at 2012 and say, that happened in 2012? I don't know if you remember Conan. He had this thing, the skit, when he was on NBC, when they would be like, in the year 2000. You remember that? Did you ever see that?
Yeah. Conan did that. Yeah. That was hilarious.
That was funny, but we can't do that here because I don't have the voice for it. But The year was in 2012. Go ahead, Camilo.
Well, you know, one of the biggest things that happened this year, obviously, was Ronda Rousey became a huge star, and thanks to her, now the UFC has a women's division. So, I mean, that was, you know, obviously one of the biggest things that happened this year. You know, there's injuries. Man, injuries plagued MMA all over. And I think, you know, it mostly affected the UFC because just, the, you know, the amount of events they put on each year it increases more and more events. And obviously with the Fox deal and all that stuff and them trying to take over the whole world, there's going to be more and more events. But these injuries, we're going to see them more and more. Plus, you know, obviously the caliber of the fighters training with, you know, their training partners were also, you know, professional fighters. It's I think we're gonna continue seeing these injuries, but definitely that was a huge issue in 2012. What else?
It was a ridiculous amount. You know that it was a ridiculous amount of injuries. I think someone had posted they actually sat down and counted the amount of injuries, and it was really like an astonishing number.
And what we've been seeing recently is food poisoning. Fighters are getting, like, food poisoning after they do their weigh-ins, they go out and eat something, and I don't know if maybe their bodies are starting to react weird or what, but we've been seeing food poisoning. It happened to Jamie Varner, and also in at the Bellator, Rad Martinez's opponent couldn't fight because of food poisoning.
That's right. And although Melvin Gallard says what was it? Melvin Gallard said that he was... fear got him sick?
Yeah. He was scared. And let me see what else. What else happened? The whole Alistair Overeem, obviously, you know, he came into the UFC. And unfortunately, he took some stuff that he shouldn't have taken. And, you know, he blames it on the labels and, you know, his doctor and whatever. So that was a big issue. Also, Chael Sonnen, man. Chael Sonnen. You know, this guy, he got his second fight against Anderson Silva, and now, you know, he's coaching tough against John Jones and is going to become the next, you know, opponent for the light heavyweight title of the world. It's amazing. Chael Sonnen, this guy, he's definitely a salesman, and a lot of people don't like him. I think he's funny. You can't take this guy, you know, too personal, even though he does cross the line a lot of times on stuff that he says. But you got to give this guy credit. He stays relevant. He's constantly in the biggest news that has to do at least with the UFC. He's a commentator now. You got to give it up to Chael Sonnen, man. He did good 2012.
He's a funny guy.
Let me see what else. You know, obviously the whole the Ultimate Fighter stuff, the Tough 16 being supposedly like the worst ever ratings, you know, wise. Oh, and you can't forget, now that we just mentioned John Jones, his DUI.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
And the
that
cancellation.
The cancellation of
UFC.
Yeah. Strikeforce closing shop. You know, that was huge. That was a huge news. And people, you know, even though we still got the last event coming up next month. You know, it was officially announced this year. Not that long ago. I think it was last week. Last week, yeah. Or was it this week? Well, either way, they announced it officially that's it. They're closing up shop. So that was a huge you know, news. We got to see the comeback of GSP, you know, considerably one of the best. Let me see what else. Oh, what was the fighter? Nick Mule, because the first amputee fighter to become a champion.
Yes.
That's huge.
That was.
Yeah. Okay. Jason Mayhem Miller went crazy and retired.
Yes, that was another big one as well.
Invicta FC had a great year. I mean, they put women fighting on a whole new level. So that's awesome for them. That's great. Let me see what else can we remember. Nick Diaz, his whole thing, he got suspended for the marijuana thing. He retired from MMA. Now he's coming back, and apparently he's getting a shot at a GSP.
Well, we also have, we can't forget, BJ Penn coming back.
BJ Penn came back, yeah, and got his butt whooped by Rory McDonald. Now Rory is calling out Carlos Condit, and actually is going to get to fight Carlos Condit.
Yep.
So
right.
That's good. Frankie Edgar, you know, his fights are just amazing. This guy, every time he fights, I think he's going to be definitely in the UFC Hall of Fame. This guy is amazing, what he's done, and obviously, you know, changing weight classes. And obviously, you know, another controversy which we talked earlier with our last guest are the super fights, man. You know, these guys, title shots are being looked over and given to other fighters from other weight classes just to do like these, you know, super fights, which is awesome. Don't get me wrong, it's awesome. It's, you know, part of the business. You know, it's sports entertainment, but there's also a sports side of it. You know, there's I guess a procedure. I had heard on I don't remember if it was TV or on a talk show in the car while I was driving, but somebody said that if other sports can do what, like, I guess, you know, like UFC fighters are doing, like GSP picked his next opponent, which is Nick Diaz, and they, you know, Dana White backed him up, said, you know, hey, listen, this guy has done a lot, so he's the champ, and if that's who he wants to fight, then, you know, that's who he gets. And the comment that I had heard, it was that, imagine if that could be done in other sports. Like, for example, in Miami, he was saying, you know what, we were the champs, and we're not going to play against the Lakers. We're going to go against whatever team. And we just skip right to it, just to watch the super game.
Yeah, no, not about that. A lot of stuff happening in 2012.
Oh.
Camilo, before we go, we have one more interview to go. And this is the Tim Boyce fight at UFC 155. But I want to thank you, Camilo, for jumping on board this year and helping me out on the Roman show. And we had Rando earlier this year, and you came on board to help me out, and I appreciate it, and thank you very much. I understand now, unfortunately, you will not be with us the next year. But I wish you very good luck in your future job that you're going to be working now. But again, I really appreciate you for helping me out, man.
Nah, man, thank you. And you know, this is fun for me too. And you know, regardless whether I'm on the show with you every week or not, you know, we're still friends and we always collaborate on different stuff. And yeah, bro, I mean, it's fun. And you know, I wish you the best as well. Happy New Year's, and we're gonna continue collaborating, you know.
Yes, sir, we will. But joining me next year from Australia, Guillermo coined the MMA Encyclopedia Garcia, will be back on the show. So he'll have, I guess you guys kept his seat warm. He'll be back.
Another big thing that happened in 2012. He left to Australia, and now he's coming back.
And now he's coming back? That's it?
Oh,
he couldn't hack it. Yeah.
Oh. This is something else. I mean, it's kind of sad, but it did happen, the Macho Camacho thing.
Oh, yeah, very sad.
And Pacquiao falling asleep.
He's still knocked out. They're still trying to wake him up. They're still trying to wake Pac-Man up. He's gone.
Yeah.
He's gone. He right now, he's counting sheep. But I want to thank everyone out there for supporting the Roman Show. A lot of stuff happening in 2013. And we'll start having some webisodes on YouTube, and we're going to get a little bit more interactive out there with the people. So expect a lot more. If you thought 2012 was good, then 2013 will be a lot better. But again, on behalf of the Roman Show, thank you so very much for supporting us this year, 2012. We'll be back 2013. Here's the interview with Tim Boyce. Camilo, thanks so much, man. Happy New Year. And we'll catch you in 2013, whatever you do. Do not drink and drive on New Year's Eve. A lot of eyes out there on the street, man. Very deadly out there. Very deadly.
Yeah.
So if you're going to drink and party, knock yourself out as long as you don't drive. DH,
that's true,
have,
man.
DH, you know, designated driver, but in this case, I guess it'll be DD.
Yeah, or just stay at your friend's house, you know. I mean, there's
that's
no need to risk it.
Or don't drink. Get high up of life. That's it. You can't go wrong with that. Camilo, thanks so very much, man. We're going to play this interview of Tim Boyce, who fights this Saturday, UFC 155. Thanks so much, guys.
We're back after that short commercial break, and on the line, I had Tim Boyce, who fights this Saturday at the UFC 155 against Kenson Tito Filippo. Tim, thanks so much for taking some time and speaking to us here on The Roman Show.
My pleasure. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, man. Now, Tim, you were originally supposed to fight Chris Weidman. Unfortunately, he got hurt, and they gave you his teammate, Constantino. It was about 5 weeks ago, 5 weeks before the actual fight. Did this in any way throw you out of your training game, or are you just prepared as is?
Well, obviously, it's a different style of fight than it would have been if I were fighting Chris, so certainly had to make some game plan adjustments and just some tactical adjustments, but it was far enough out that it wasn't really an issue. Got a really good training camp in and definitely fully focused on my opponent Costa this Saturday, so it's going to be a good fight, and I'm ready for it.
Now, obviously, Tim, any fight is a good fight, correct, as a fighter. Now, would you have preferred Chris over Constantino? Would you consider more of a challenge, or either guy is a challenge for you?
Both guys are a challenge. Costa, you know, he's a great boxer, and definitely he's going to bring some heavy hands. And I think he's definitely a better striker than Chris would have been. But that being said, just the weight of the fight, the significance of a Chris Weidman fight, I think what it really determines who the number one contender was is the middleweight weight class. So I'm upset that we don't get a chance to determine that right now. But I'm just happy to have a fight. You know, when your opponent gets injured, it's always a concern that you're going to be out of fight. And for me, I rely on that fight money to pay bills. So I really needed this fight. And honestly, I think I've got a very tough opponent. So I'm looking forward to it.
And good thing you mentioned that, because it could have possibly determined, as you said, the number one contender for the title if you would have fought Chris. However, prior to this fight, you fought Hector Lombard, and Lombard, many were saying that he didn't come out to play. He wasn't the original Lombard as he was 2 weeks ago. He came out and said that he had an injury, he had a broken sternum. When you were inside the cage, did you tell him anything like that? When you fall on
board? I just thought it was funny, the timing that he said he was hurt. I don't think that came out until a couple weeks after the fight. And honestly, I think it's just kind of embarrassing when fighters go that route. If you know you're injured and you can't perform at where you need to be, then maybe you shouldn't be in there fighting. But, you know, that was his choice. And honestly, I don't think he was injured. I think he had some stage fright, and I think I had a pretty good game plan to eliminate what he's good at. And unfortunately, Paul Harris didn't take notice of what you need to do to beat Hector Lombard. If you stand right in front of the guy and let him hit you, he's going to knock you out. He's going to finish you. And that's what he's done very successfully to a lot of his opponents. But I didn't allow that to happen, and he didn't beat me.
And with that said, considering that if you were to win this fight, you could possibly somehow, some way, maybe even get a rematch, give Lombard a rematch, determining, of course, what happens with Wyman or any of those folks, and then possibly get a chance against Silva. Would you like a fight against Lombard again one more time?
Absolutely not. I've already beat him. It doesn't prove anything for me to fight him again. I'm moving on to guys who are actually at the top of the weight class and who aren't only founded on hype. I think Hector's going to have problems with anybody at the elite level of the weight class that understands how to execute a game plan. So for me to fight him again makes no sense at all.
All right. Now we called out Michael Bisping. We don't know if he's going to fight him because he already has a fight lined up, but that's the one he's he's going up against. But, Tim, as far as you, this coming Saturday, your fight, any change in your training camp that you had to prepare for this one?
Just like I said, we just changed up the game plan a little bit because, obviously, Chris Weidman's a very seasoned wrestler, and that's something that you have to prepare for. But in Costa, like I said, he's a great boxer, so we're expecting heavy hands to be thrown, and throws pretty good combinations, and he's a pretty good counter fighter. So, you know, those are things we've taken into account and have prepared for.
And now I know that you were on MMA Inside not too long ago. You were nominated for Comeback of the Year or Underdog. Can you explain to us who you were nominated?
Yeah, I was nominated for both the Okami fight and Hector Lombard fight for Upset of the Year. And, you know, obviously I beat both those guys and surprised a lot of people. You know, obviously I was heavy underdog in both of those fights, especially going all the way to Japan and winning that fight. I don't think a lot of people expected that, so I was definitely happy to surprise a lot of people.
And as a fighter, when you get nominated for such things, like, for example, an Inside an MMA, how does that make you feel?
It feels good. It means, you know, people are taking notice of the hard work that I'm putting in and the success that I'm having. So it makes you feel good to get noticed.
Your time with us here in the Roman Show. Last, before we let you go, you know, if you would leave us with some few words to your opponent, and why should people go check out your fight this coming Saturday, UFC 155?
I definitely want to thank Costa for taking the fight. Always happy to get in there and perform, and I think he's definitely a worthy opponent. He's going to come. He's going to be tough. He's on a roll. He looks to finish fights, and I do the same thing, so it's going to be an exciting fight. Make sure everybody tunes in to watch it, because there's going to be fireworks.
Well, Tim, thank you so very much. Anything else you'd like to add?
No, I think we covered all the bases. Thanks for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. And happy holidays, and good luck this Saturday.
Thank you very much. I'll talk to you again soon, I hope.
Well, too. Thank you, sir.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Thank you, sir.